the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 210 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show planned for you this week. It's packed full of entertainment. Free entertainment for you. Yeah. aren't you excited? Are you not excited? Then why are you listening to this? I'm answering questions that nobody's asking. Welcome to the show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in once again on a beautiful weather here in Seattle, Washington. However, I am a normal Western Washington person, and now I am sick of it, and I just want it to rain. I want it to rain for like a week. Wash away the sins of all the people out enjoying the sunshine. Why I have to work in it? I don't like it. I just want some cooler weather for a little bit, guys. And now we're starting off the show talking about weather, and that's when everybody tunes out. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to get to here. We've got a couple of emails that I've been saying that we were going to get to in past weeks, and now we're finally going to get to them, I think. We're also going to talk to the director of this awesome little two-day, I don't know if you'd call it a festival, little two-day show. Charity show called Noise for the Needy that happens here in Seattle and has been going on for something like 20 years or something like that, maybe 10 here in the Seattle area and 20 elsewhere. I don't know, but it's coming to an end, and we're gonna chat with Richard Green, the director of Noise for the Needy. He's gonna come on and talk to us for a bit about this show coming up, which is going to be a lot of fun, and then we're going to talk with Celine Ramadan of the band Prom Queen. You may remember her; she was on a long time ago, maybe 2 years ago, on the Air Raid podcast. She was up in the dining room studios when we were doing it from the condo in Greenwood, Seattle, and she was, we talked to her for a little while. She's doing this new project called Prom Queen. And it's fantastic. So, a lot of stuff to get to. I did the ice bucket challenge. I was challenged by listener Corinna Andreessen of Tacoma, Washington. She challenged me to dump a bucket of ice on my head. But I took it one step further, folks. And I filled a bucket with vodka tonic, and just proceeded to drink the shit out of that. In my backyard while my wife filmed it and filmed my antics. That may or may not be true, right? It may or may not be me acting like I'm drinking a huge bucket full of vodka tonic, but you make the decision, right? You decide. But you can check it out on our Facebook page, the Air Raid Podcast or air-raid.net Facebook page. So go and check that out, shall ya? Shall ya? Making a lot of sense. I'm a little hungover today, folks. I'm not going to lie. Had some friends from out of town staying over, and we ended up tying one on last night. I went to Sean DeTore's, good friend of mine, Sean DeTore's birthday party yesterday, then had to come home and spend some time with some friends that I haven't seen in a long time. We played some bocce ball and got eaten alive by mosquitoes, and I just drank a lot of whiskey. So today I'm slowing it down, man. Yeah, my body is not recovering like it used to, which is normal for somebody who's aging. But you know, it's always kind of a shock, right? I imagine that I'm still going to be hungover tomorrow. That's what's going to happen, right? Now it's going to start taking 2 days to get over this stuff. Yeah, it's not because of the ice bucket challenge. It was a lot of fun. I got to say, you know, there's a lot of people saying bad stuff about the ice bucket challenge, all that thing, you know, going around social media a bit too much, right? People are getting sick of it. I was kind of on the fence about the whole thing, right? I thought, you know, to each their own, do the ice bucket challenge. That's great. I don't care if you do it. It's not for me. But then I got challenged and I sat on it. You're supposed to do it 24 hours after your challenge to do it. But I sat on it for almost a week, and I was just like, man, I took a step back the other day and I said, just fucking do it. What's the problem with doing the ice bucket challenge? Are you not going to be cool if you do this? Are you worried about how people might perceive you if you do the ice bucket challenge? That's stupid. Just do it. And so I did it. And I think I did it in kind of a fun way, right? I put the Air Raid podcast spin on the ice bucket challenge and did it. And people seem to like it. So, and it's for a good cause, right? Right? Yes. If you guys want to find out more about Lou Gehrig's disease, that is ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, please go to ALSA.org and donate to the cause and read up on ALS, because it is an extremely, extremely hardcore disease, man. It's nuts. It is nuts. So it's a good thing that people are bringing some attention to this affliction. So I hope you guys, you know, check out the video and then you know, go to the website, ALSA.org, donate to the cause and read up on it, because it is awful. It truly is an awful affliction. So let's move on. We've got a couple emails here that I've wanted to get to for a little bit. Well, one that was just sent to us this week. Another one, let's see, listener Scott. I don't know where Scott's from. Hey, if you email us, aaron@air-raid.net, that's aaron@air-raid.net, tell us where you're from. We love seeing that. Listener Scott says, hi, Aaron, I just listened to the Chris Walla interview. That was a while ago, Scott. And wondered, what is that song playing as you lead, as your lead-in theme? I know it, but I just can't think of it at the moment. Don't ever get old. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So the lead theme music to our show is by Dinosaur Jr. It's a song called Feel the Pain. Feel the Pain. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, fantastic song, right? It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I love Dinosaur Jr. That's off one of their older albums. Feel the Pain by Dinosaur Jr. Look it up. Download it. It's great. Okay, that's from listener Scott. This one we got this week. I wanted to read a couple more, but I don't think we're going to have time to do all this stuff. So we'll just read this one right here. I'm not going to say this person's name. This comes up from time to time. This complaint that some people have. Let me just read this for you. Just downloaded your show for the first time to hear the Murder City Devils episode. You sound like you are trying to be Marc Maron. You are not Marc Maron. You should stop trying to be someone else. You come off sounding like a cheap imitation. I will say that I enjoyed the interview, but not your intro. Signed, Anonymous. Actually, he signed his name, but I'm not going to say it. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. I get emails like this from time to time. You sound like you're trying to be Marc Maron. I'm not trying to be Marc Maron, guys. I'm just being myself here on a microphone and trying to make it entertaining for you, the listener. I listen to WTF, so maybe I'm picking stuff up from that and injecting it into my own intros. I don't think I'm trying to be Marc Maron. I respect him as a fellow podcaster. I respect him as a comedian. I'm not a comedian, but he's great, man. I'm a big fan of his. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to be Marc Maron. I realize that I do share some of the same tendencies that Marc Maron has, and that's fucking normal, all right? A lot of people share some of the same sentiments that Marc Maron has. That's why he's so popular, because people fucking, they can relate with him, okay? So, I'm getting a little worked up here over this email. But, I'm not trying to be Marc Maron. I'm just being myself up here. You can take that to the bank, man, whoever you are. Not going to name your name. I know you're listening to this right now, too. You just want to see if I read it aloud. So there, I did it. I did it. I did what you wanted me to do. But thanks for listening to the episode. Thanks for the download, dude. I hope you check out some of the other ones. You can check out all the other episodes by visiting our website, www.air-raid.net. You can hear shows with people like Chris Walla, Macklemore, Murder City Devils. How about Bob Saget, Jim Brewer, Mike Birbiglia, Pete Holmes, Eddie Pepitone? I mean, come on, folks. God, Presidents of the United States of America, Death Cab for Cutie? I already said Chris Walla, right? Yeah, I did. man, the list goes on and on. All 210 episodes there for your listening pleasure. Nacho Picasso, Blue Scholars. Man, that was a great conversation, wasn't it? Nacho Picasso, that was a lot of fun. All there for your listening pleasure. Air-raid.net. Click on the archives page and it's all right there. Okay, so let's get to this, shall we? Let's get to this chat I had the other day with Richard Green. He called up on the phone and we just had a wonderful talk.
That you're not here in person.
So you are the director of the show Noise for the Needy. This is an annual show, right?
Correct.
Here in Seattle. And yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? How did this thing start?
Well, this started almost 20 years ago.
20?
When my brother... Yeah, it almost started... Well, it started almost nearly 20 years ago.
Wow.
It started in Southern California, actually. My brother, who is a Seattle native, moved there. I was in college, and he started putting on punk shows for a local soup kitchen, Mary's Kitchen, and that progressed for about 10 years, and then about 10, almost 11 years ago now, I started doing shows here in Seattle, along with support from my brother and friends here in Seattle, and so the shows. Yeah, we've gone on for 11 years, and we've had hundreds of bands perform. We've raised, I'm trying to think what we're up to now. Collectively, we've raised probably over $150,000.
Wow, man!
So it's been a great decade, and it's just been so awesome to work with all the local Seattle bands and all the local charities.
Wow, man, that's pretty special, dude. Why is this going to be, if people don't know, this is going to be the last Noise for the Needy show?
Well, right? I think, you know, when we first started this, you know, a decade ago, none of us really had very serious jobs or families or, you know, we were all a lot younger. And I think we've all managed to keep things up as we've started families and
sure.
started entering careers. And I think for me, I didn't want it to just end cold turkey. Like I wanted it to conclude. And I also didn't want to try to keep doing the shows and have them just kind of fall by the wayside. One thing that's been great in this last decade is I felt like all of our shows have been really strong. We've always had a great turnout. We've always raised a lot of money from charities. We've always given them a lot of exposure. And I didn't want it to just end abruptly. And I didn't want to see it just sort of deteriorate. So I wanted to have really sort of a sense of closure. That said, I'll still definitely want to be active in the Seattle music community. I still want to be involved in fundraising. But but I wanted to be able to thank everybody that had been involved and bring everybody back that's helped and to conclude the festival. Basically.
Yeah, and just go one last time.
Right.
Yeah. So did you know that this was going to be the last year when you were doing it last year?
You know, I definitely had considered that.
Yeah.
You know, I had a pretty strong feeling that that's how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, it's definitely gotten harder and harder the last couple of years. But that's like I said. I mean, I can't speak for the other you know other directors and other folks involved. But I think for me personally, I'll still be involved in some capacity in the music community, and I'll still be involved in fundraising. I just it probably won't be called Mostly Me.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Gotcha. So what are the charities that you donate the proceeds from this show for?
Well, every year, the charities applied with us,
uh-huh.
And then we would select one, and it was always a local one. And so it's really ranged. I mean, the majority of them are social service related charities.
Okay.
So homeless shelters.
Sure.
There was one. Sort of transitional resources that was helping people with mental illness. Teen Feed was one. We've mostly focused on social services. Vera Project we've been involved with. Urban Rest Stop. That's a facility downtown that offers laundry facilities. They had a on staff medical support for homeless folks. A lot of working poor.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's varied, but it's mostly been in the social service, like kind of social human related services.
Yeah, yeah, that's great, man. You guys have done some fantastic work over there, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. So what's coming up for this final show? Who do you have that's going to be gracing the stage?
Well, the Helio Sequence is going to play Ravenna Woods.
Yeah.
Black Whales, Gordon Harum. It's a great. I mean, I'm very excited. Not only because I'm turning 40 around that time,
uh-huh.
But so it'll be a little bit of a celebration. But I've always had like sort of a handful of bands that have been like on my wish list.
Yeah,
and Helio Sequence has always been like a reach band for me. Like I've always, you know, one reason or another they've been playing Sasquatch and they're playing Bumbershoot, but this is like the first time that we finally got a chance to get them to play Noise for the Needy. So. That's a big one for me. I'm really excited for that show.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. They're great dudes too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love being able to do shows at the Tractor and in Ballard. Like I love Ballard. I love doing shows there. I love the music community in Ballard. You know, so it's really a great way for I feel like we're in such a great place to be able to kind of say farewell to it. I'm really excited about that show.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm going to be there. What are the dates exactly?
It's September 12th and 13th.
Okay. And it's at the Tractor.
Well, so it's going to be in a few locations. So
oh, okay.
It's going to be the Tractor and the Two-Bit and Hilliard's. We're going to have some shows at Hilliard's.
Oh, that's going to be
that
fun.
That will be all ages. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody. Nope. And Connor Byrne.
Connor Byrne.
We'll have to Connor Byrne as well. The something I should mention about the festival was that you know, so Greg Garcia, who books the Tractor and has booked Noise for Me for the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
You know, previously Michelle Smith, Mama Casserole, she goes by DJ Mama Casserole, who used to book the Comet for a million years.
Sure.
And it was also very involved in Noise for Me. One thing that was really exciting for me was I got a chance to bring her back in. So Greg and Michelle had a chance to work together. So Michelle's been really involved with booking all the Two-Bit shows and is involved with the Connor Byrne shows. And so that was very exciting for me because we didn't have a chance to work together the last couple of years. And so she was just so involved with Noise for Me over the years. And she helped really, you know, just build out these shows and create so much exposure to the charities we worked with. So that's, I'm really excited about that too. And it's also a bummer that the Two-Bit actually shut down, I think, the week after our show.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, this is it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. September 12th and 13th, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's Friday and Saturday.
So. All right. I got the dates right. Even though you just said them, I have the tendency to like forget things right after I hear them. So this is working out splendidly right now.
It's too. If I don't write something down, then it's gone.
It's in the ether. Yeah. Well, Richard Green, thank you so much for joining us here on the Air Raid Podcast, and all the best to you in the future, sir. And thank you so much for being such a pillar of the charity community here in Seattle for the last 10 years.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, there you go, folks. Sounds awesome, right? Noise for the Needy, the last one here in Seattle, anyway, that you will ever be able to go to. Please go and visit noiseforthenedy.org and get tickets to this thing, and just check out all the bands that are will be playing at this. All right, with that said, let's do this. Let's go to our first musical break. We're featuring music by Prom Queen, and when we get back, we'll be talking with Celine Ramadan of the band here in the backyard. Stay with us. Super heavy wind, and I don't have like, it's not like the size of scooter where I can just put in like rain gear, you know, into the thing, so I'm just soaking wet all day.
I mean, it's a you just have to commit to that in Seattle.
I think so, yeah.
You know, it's like you have to be like, well, I'm gonna get wet, or I'm gonna get another car,
or I'm gonna get a smart car.
Yeah,
I'd say I half expected you to drive up in like some like 1952 Corvette.
I wish.
Like pink Corvette.
I wish.
That would be a good
someday.
One, right?
I saw someone had posted, like right after I bought the smart car, someone had posted a vintage, it was 1968 Karmann Ghia that they had turned into an electric car.
What?
And perfect. It was only a couple $1,000 more than what I paid for that. And I was like, fuck, can I? I just like wanted to sell my smart car and get that because it was way cooler.
You do. I mean, you have this persona now. You are like full encompassing the like 1960s pop vibe. Wow. You need the car to go with it.
I feel like I do need one. I need one of those cars.
I think you do.
I always feel like that's a someday thing.
Yeah.
But
sure,
for right now,
sure.
I'm still zipping around in my smart car.
Good.
My little yellow smart car.
It was kind of the perfect thing to see you drive up in, though.
I'm so easy to spot. It's funny. And actually, there's like a few yellow smart cars in town, and people are like, oh, I think I saw you. I'm like, no, it wasn't me.
No, it was me. It was Jared. We have a club. We're in a club.
Yeah.
Do you have a dream car? Is there a dream car that like you would, let's say, best case scenario, you strike it big and you're able to afford any car you want. What would you go with?
You know what? I don't know enough about cars. I'm not going to front.
But you have like, you have like the Karmann Ghia, right? You know,
well,
like the body, the body style of like an old 60s car. Mine would be, and I saw one today, my daughter and I saw one today, and I almost ran us off the road because I whenever I see one, I
turn my head and I keep on looking at it rather mm-hmm. than drive.
Right.
But a 1952 Corvette convertible Roadster.
Oh, yeah, but it was beautiful.
Oh, my God. It was gorgeous.
I mean, I think my dream car would be something like that where it's the shell of a beautiful old car, but mm-hmm. it's still fuel efficient. And
sure, yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, there you go.
Like a smart car. But it's an old-looking smart car.
Well, there you go. You just need a shell of a Karmagia and just put it right on top of the smart car.
Yeah, I mean, that really was my dream car that I saw on Craigslist way too late.
Celine Ramadan joining me here in the backyard. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks. I didn't realize we were recording.
Yeah.
And now we are.
It's done. Yeah. We're actually at the end already.
Oh.
It's over.
I hope you enjoyed this. Whatever this was.
No, welcome back. It's been a couple years since we've chatted in this type of way.
Yes, things have changed.
Yeah, a bit.
For both of us.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big fan of your latest project, Prom Queen.
Thank you.
And you're finished with this video project, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that a little bit? Midnight Veil?
Yeah, so Midnight Veil is the new Prom Queen album. It's 12 songs with 12 videos, and all the videos sort of interconnect, but they don't make a single storyline, so they're all very different visually and content-wise. They're all very different worlds, but they're all connected by this magic lamp that travels between all the videos.
Yes.
So it's sort of a visual thread, and it kind of is the glue that keeps the whole thing together. So you're just sort of seeing these different characters in these different worlds, and it's all just meant to be very visually interesting and, you know, psychedelic at times and funny at times and, you know, cinematic at times and more narrative. So it just sort of kind of runs the gambit of all stuff that I'm interested in and all the stuff that came to my mind when I made the songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's great. And you guys did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You sent me a little screener of it, and it was a lot of fun to watch, especially because, I mean, it was very, I want to say it was reminiscent a little bit of like Quentin Tarantino's stuff where he kind of throws back, you know, mm-hmm. to the 60s era.
Yeah.
You had some stuff that was visually like very reminiscent of like old Batman,
yeah,
you know, television show and stuff like that. Like, oh man, it was so cool.
Thanks.
You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
It turned out really good. And I can't wait for people to see it. So this is going to accompany the album, right? Or
yeah.
Is it going to be separate?
No, it's going to be with the album. We will sell CDs, but it'll only be with the DVD. So the DVD
okay,
and
great.
The CD will
yeah.
be one sort of unit. And then people can just buy the digital downloads of the music or the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll have to, you know, figure out the cleanest way to set that up. But yeah, basically it's meant to be a thing that's
yeah.
consumed as one together. And ideally, I really want people to hear the songs for the first time with the videos. I think that's really cool
powerful. Sure. Yeah, and it, like I said, it works really well. There's no dialogue or anything like that, which I thought was actually really smooth, made for like smooth transitions between each, I don't know, scene or video or whatever. It just worked really, really well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. How long were you guys working on that?
With the video portion of it, we started last August and we did a Kickstarter.
So we
launched the Kickstarter, we got it funded in September, and then we've mm-hmm. just were filming and editing all year long until June, when we finished it in June. June 1st was our cast and crew screening.
Yeah.
We pretty much were editing up until the last minute for that, and now we're still doing some last minute tweaks before we get it manufactured, but it's done.
Yeah.
And we're going to release it October 11th.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So is Kickstarter like paying for this whole thing?
No, like we raised $12,000 on Kickstarter, which is uh-huh. pretty respectable, but you know,
yeah,
we're making
great.
12 music videos, which is a lot. And mm-hmm. also I was making the album. So it
yeah.
was sort of like, there was a lot that needed to be paid for. So
sure.
that money didn't last super long. Most of it was out of pocket for me. So
oh, yeah.
I
yeah.
Was pretty broke when the whole thing was said and done.
Well, at least your smart car doesn't take a whole lot of gas. So
no,
that,
exactly.
That's great.
Yeah. I was like, do I need to sell my car? Luckily, I still have the car. It's a good sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll trade you for the scooter. You can have the scooter.
Oh, man.
Gallon tank, 90 miles.
All right. Well, we'll talk.
Pretty good.
We'll talk when things get really rough for me.
There you go. There you go. So the new the project that you have now, Prom Queen.
Yeah.
Which is what you're doing. Is this what you're doing solely?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not doing Leanie anymore.
Leanie is. I failed. I don't like saying that it's ever over completely, but it's been a long time since I've been motivated to pick up a Game Boy and plug in songs anymore. Although I did talk to my friend Jay Battle, you know, he's this amazing producer, DJ here in town. We did talk about revitalizing Leanie and doing some stuff together where he kind of sort of DJs. And so it'd be two of us on stage doing it. But to be honest with you, I did a few Leanie gigs in the last few years, but it's really hard for me to get into in the same way that I do Prom Queen. It's hard to deliver.
Is it because of like the time it takes you to kind of piece stuff together on a Game Boy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's from the genesis of the idea in your head till when you get to perform it.
Yeah.
It just is such a uphill process to get the idea out. And I like the immediacy of playing a guitar and singing, and it feels good on stage. I can close my eyes and get into the song more. If I close my eyes with Game Boys or drum machines, I'll probably hit the wrong button and screw up the whole show. It's just hard to sink into it and deliver the song the way I want to. And I just don't get that much out of it. But I like the music itself. So yeah, if I had someone on stage to maybe like help me out, I'd probably like it more, but I don't know.
Have you thought about just like pre-recording all of it and then just singing to it on stage? Or,
you know, I think that there's a kind of a thing in the chiptune world that's
not acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like there's only there has to be some element of live of what you're doing, okay, you know, okay, to feel legit in any way. And I don't want to feel like I'm doing karaoke. So yeah, you just have to like find that balance.
I kind of get that though. Yeah. I mean, that's the same argument a lot of people use for like, you know, watching like DJs do a set where it's just like a laptop.
And it's like, what are we listening to, your Spotify playlist or what? Yeah. There's just, there's definitely a balance that you need to find. And I just never seem to find the right balance with the electronic stuff. And
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that, because Leanie was like, that was such a great project.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, I never say die. So.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Now, one of the other projects that you were associated with, Romeo and Juliet, had a very similar style to what you're doing now.
Yeah.
With Prom Queen.
Yeah.
Did Prom Queen kind of come out of that? Because I know that the Romeo and Juliet project totally ended, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, I mean, we were a long-distance collaboration.
Uh-huh.
I wrote all these Prom Queen songs, what ended up being Prom Queen songs for Romeo and Juliet.
Sure, but yeah.
Once I realized that we weren't going to be able to play shows, it just wasn't working out to be a real band that actually played and toured and everything, I decided I wanted to start something new.
Was that your hope with that project, though?
Yeah, I had wanted...
You wanted to really go for it with that?
Yeah, I had wanted that. Mm-hmm. But I just started Prom Queen because I saw that wasn't going to happen, and here we are.
Why'd you start out as a, because Prom Queen kind of started out as a solo project too, right?
Yeah, it did. Because I didn't know who to play with. That was why. Yeah. And I had all the songs written. And I also got really into producing in that style through Romeo and Juliet. Got really into making these sort of vintage sounding productions.
Sure.
And I really wanted to do more of it. It was almost also a pet production project for me. I wanted to see all the different sounds I could do and how I could, you know, make these things sound real, authentic.
Yeah.
So that first album was really just me wanting to get the songs out and produce them. And then as I started playing shows, I was like, it'd be kind of fun to have other people up here. And then found these people really magically. And I really love my band.
Yeah, they're great.
They're fantastic.
Me and Kevin Sir went and saw you at Vito's.
Yeah.
Which is such like the best location for that type of music too.
Yeah, we play there quite a bit.
Yeah.
I really like it. I learned really early on with Prom Queen that, I don't know, I feel like sometimes the louder rock clubs just like eat us alive. I feel like we just need like a moody lounge or somewhere where people are sitting down and drinking a cocktail or not talking over the music. And I just think that that's better for our show and our performances.
Yeah. Well, it's almost, I mean, and I hesitate to say this or use this word, but shtick. Like, and in the way that I'm saying that, it's not meant as a bad word, but it is like the setting of Vito's
Yeah.
Is kind of is like a lounge act. Almost,
well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like with everything that I want to do with Prom Queen, I want mm-hmm. everything to be a deliberate choice stylistically.
Yeah, sure,
you know, I want the setting to be right. It's almost like producing a video, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you want the setting right, you want the outfit to be right, you want the costumes, you want the guys to look okay, you want the music to be exactly right. I'm always thinking kind of in that 360 experience,
yeah.
not just the music. It has to be more than that, I think.
Yeah.
For me.
And do you think that's why you're kind of gaining in popularity too?
I don't know. I mean, I hope so. I hope people like that.
It's like the full experience.
I hope that wouldn't be, because for me, what I want, I have a hard time always expressing this, but sometimes when I see a performer and I really get into it, it's like there's this other thing that takes over. It's like, it's not just the performance. There's some like magic that you're experiencing where that you're just completely transformed and everything just becomes, I always have such a hard time talking about this. There's a few performers that when I see them.
Like who?
Okay. So for instance, I saw Charlie Magira or Magira. I don't know.
I have no idea who that is.
He's this amazing, you should look him up, performer. He lives in Berlin now.
Uh-huh.
I believe he's from Israel. But he's this incredible performer. And he never comes to the States.
Yeah.
And I happened to be in Los Angeles on a night that he happened to be playing a show, a $5 show with my friend's surf band.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I didn't even know until the day before I was going to be in town that was going to happen. And I had been listening to this guy for years and I was so excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, just watching him, he's just such a character up there that, you don't see any self-consciousness, I guess. And
mm-hmm.
I think that was really powerful for me. I was watching something that was it felt so pure and yeah, just transformative as an audience member to watch something like that. You just feel like you trust in the song. You're hearing the song in this pure way.
Right.
Because you're
right.
Not seeing the performer. It's almost like you're seeing the song.
Well, it's a confidence thing, right?
I guess so.
Maybe that's what it is.
If
somebody's up there, if a performer's up there exuding confidence, like even if the song is kind of subpar, like that's like a big thing.
I think confidence is a big thing, but it's also,
yeah.
you know, it's like when everything comes together, like I said, you know, like the setting and you know, that when the sound is good and everything just kind of has that magical
mm-hmm.
air about it, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I want,
yeah.
so I guess that's what my point is that I want to make the whole experience something that people can like sink into and not worry about like,
sure.
oh, I can't hear that part enough, or her vocals aren't loud enough, or this or that. Like, I always want to make sure that it's a place where people are getting the most out of the experience.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great, that's a great way to conduct this project.
I felt completely roundabout explaining that. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Not at all. Have you heard this show?
I don't know. I have, I guess.
Have you heard me try to explain things sometimes?
I probably
sound like
a giant stoner.
My explanations are much worse than that.
Okay,
so,
well, great.
Yeah, yeah. And that wasn't even bad.
I hope someone understands.
I'll cut it all out. It'll come out in editing.
Edit me down, yeah.
So you gotta understand that, like, you're going to be playing shows that are not in that type of setting. Though,
absolutely, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just played a show on the beach.
Yeah, we did. Which
for Artist Home, right?
Which to me, yeah, well, that was beautiful. I mean, that's one of the places I'd love to go down and hear a band like Prom Queen on the beach.
That is kind of a good setting for a Prom Queen. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So
that was a bad example.
But yeah, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do it. I was like, that sounds freaking perfect. I mean, the sun was setting right on our last song.
Sure,
it was really nice.
Yeah.
But no, we can't always curate every experience, but I feel like but now that we have been playing enough and we have our needs dialed, I feel like we can maybe bring that to wherever we go, you know? I think we'd have a hard time on like a festival stage or, you know, something where it's just a lot of louder kind of, I guess, I don't know.
Well, I believe you will have to get used to that.
Maybe.
Don't you think?
Maybe.
I mean, festivals are kind of a natural progression for bands now.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, maybe we can just do film festivals with our...
There you go. There you go.
Just sidestep
it. You can always bring a projector.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. So where did music start in your life? I don't know if we've had this conversation before, but you have a deep love for the 60s.
I do.
Right?
Yes.
Where does that come from?
Probably from my dad. My dad was, you know, really into the Beatles growing up and kind of indoctrinated that in me. And
playing it all the time in the house?
Yeah, and he was a drummer.
Oh, really?
Not when I came into the world, he was, you know, 24/7 businessman. But like when he was growing up in Egypt, he was a drummer.
Yeah.
And so he's always had such a big love for music and really passed that on to us and always wanted me to play guitar and always wanted me to be in a band. And so I definitely was encouraged to do that from a really early age. And I loved it. You know, I've always loved music.
Did they stick you in lessons?
Yeah, I took lessons. I took drums were my first instrument.
Really?
Yeah, I played drums.
That's awesome. I think I already knew that.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm not that great anymore, but I always like think that maybe someday I'll sit down and try to get good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
That's definitely one of those instruments where like if you don't play it for a long time, it's going away.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's like math.
But no, it was really good to learn rhythm first, because once you get that, everything else is just kind of lays on top, and you don't have to think as much. So I played the oboe after that.
The oboe.
It did, yeah.
Is that the big...
That's the bassoon.
That's a bassoon. I get those.
Oboe looks like a clarinet, but it has a double reed.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So I played that throughout high school, and I was in choir, jazz choir, and all that stuff.
Yeah. Nerdy kid?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I wore a cloak.
You wore a cloak?
I wore a cloak.
Wait. On purpose?
Yeah. I was really into Shakespeare.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was pretty much a dork.
Are there pictures? Is there picture evidence of this cloak?
I don't think I have a cloak picture. I don't. I mean, I'd have pictures of me in high school, and you'd probably just do the math when you look at them. But no, I was really into theater, and
yeah.
I was a theater kid. But you know, I really loved music, and I got really into music. But I didn't write my own stuff until I got older. I had a real blockage.
Yeah.
When it came to that.
Wow. I can't get over the cloak. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah. I was, you know, I was hung out with the goth kids. I really liked, it was weird because I feel like I could relate to the kids today because I really liked vampires.
Yeah.
And there was this one guy who was like a vampire and I had a crush on him. He was like hung out at the coffee shop that we hang out
at.
Did
he go to your school?
No, I don't even know where he came from. He was at this coffee shop.
He just appeared.
And he was a vampire.
Oh my God.
And I was really into that.
I had a hard time in high school, man. Like I was like a drifter from like group to group to group because I don't think I knew who I was, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of like testing the waters out, you know, and a lot of rejection. I hated high school. Did you have a good experience in high school?
No, I didn't. I mean, it was fine, but I never think about it. Whatever.
Okay.
It happened.
We'll change the subject.
I mean, I'm not scarred about it. It was fine.
So there's nothing there. I can't dig into that old wound.
I mean, not really. Like you don't really need to know much more than I really wasn't cool at all.
Well, you already stated that with the cloak comment. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, let's do this. Let's take our second musical break. What should we play off of? Can we play stuff off of Midnight Vale, or should we go with stuff that's a little older?
Oh, we should do stuff from Midnight Vale. Okay. That sounds great.
What song should we play?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure.
Should we just go random?
Let's go random.
Okay, let's go random. This is Prom Queen off of her new album, Midnight Vale. When's it available?
October 11th.
October 11th. Yes. Okay. Wow, we're getting some sneak peeks here.
Yeah.
This is great. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears when we return with special guest this week, Prom Queen.
I was lonely all the time, wishing you were mine.
Sister musical as well?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have two sisters. They're both musical.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So why didn't you guys form like a family band? That's like that's like the thing to do now.
I mean, yeah, we never really officially did that. I mean, we played songs together, you know, for family get-togethers sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Like, we made little Christmas recordings for my dad when we were growing up because he lived across the country from us. So, yeah, we did that kind of cutesy stuff, but... I don't know. My sister and I have talked about doing some stuff together for real because she's a really great songwriter, and mm-hmm. we kind of have a similar passion for.
What does she play?
She plays a little guitar and a little keys, so she, you know, she can write with both of those, and she has a bunch of songs that haven't really been produced that I think are really great, and I have a bunch of songs that I don't know what to do with that uh-huh. I'd like to do something with. So we talked about maybe doing something.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool, man.
Yeah.
The Ramadans.
Yeah. she's got a band name that she was working under for a while called Tomorrow Girls. So we might just use that and
keep... Like space themed?
Keep that name. No, it's not space themed. It's, you know, we're both really into 80s new wave. So it's probably going to be along that tip.
Yeah. And recently you got to open up solo.
Yeah.
For Echo and the Bunnymen.
I did.
That. Must have been killer.
It was amazing. Yeah, I covered one of their songs 2 years ago, and I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, and I saw that they had like posted it on their Facebook and tweeted it.
Really?
And I was like, oh my god! And then their manager wrote me and was like, hey, we really liked your cover of Nocturnal Me because I covered that, and then they said, and we listened to your other stuff. We really like Black and Blue. They liked.
Yeah, that's a great song.
So I was really flattered that they, first of all, liked my cover, and secondly, listened to any of my other stuff.
Sure.
And I guess just over time, I've kept in touch with him, and I haven't been to the UK since, so it hasn't really ever materialized in anything.
Yeah.
But then when I saw that they were coming to Seattle, I was like, oh, I absolutely have to go to that show. And it was actually really funny. I had just done a show at Columbia City Theater, and my friend Ty and I, he was about to leave town, and we like to sing Killing Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to do a little version of Killing Moon since he was about to leave town. We sort of wanted to do it for old time's sake. And the bartender at the Columbia City Theater was like, oh, did you buy tickets to their Seattle show yet? And I was like, oh, no, I got to do that. And then the next day, their manager wrote me and said he was going to set aside a couple tickets for me. And I was like, that's great. And then it said it was sold out. And I was like, well, I'm glad I got those tickets. And then...
Yeah.
The next day he was like, oh, do you want to open for them? And I was like, yes.
And this is at the Showbox, right?
Yeah.
Sold out show at the Showbox.
Yeah. And
that's huge.
I've always wanted to play at the Showbox.
Yeah.
So in so many ways, it was such a dream experience, and it was so magical.
Yeah.
And I kept like expecting like, you know, it to fall through or them to be like, oh no, never mind. We have someone else. Or...
Right, right.
But it happened and it was really great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Were you pretty nervous going up there?
And, you know, I was a little nervous, but it wasn't that bad. I think the thing that made me most nervous was that it was acoustic and solo. Like, if I had my band there, I would have probably had a little bit more confidence before going out there. But I felt good about what I did. And and it was, you know, I got really great feedback from the band and the crowd. And, you know, it was... a great experience.
Do you ever get nervous?
Do
you have any stage fright?
You know, not that much anymore, actually. Just on occasion, and it's usually, you know, it's usually about one detail or another. It's usually about, you know, just one thing that makes me nervous. It's not usually about the whole idea of performing that makes me nervous. And usually there's an anchor of something I can latch onto that grounds me enough that I can just focus on that and not worry about whatever I'm nervous about. So, yeah, I used to have horrible stage fright.
Really?
That's actually what kept me from writing music. I realized I wanted to be a singer when I was in college. I had always known that I loved music, but I was in this class, and part of the class is you do this, what they call a lab, where you close your eyes and you imagine yourself going into a doctor's office and finding out that you have 6 months to live, and you have to
it sounds awful.
You know, you take like a survey of your entire body, how you would feel in that moment. Like, what are you doing with your hands? What are you doing with your breath? What's the first thing you say to the doctor after they tell you that news?
Right.
And then you follow yourself out to the front desk where you check out, and then you go out, and then you're in your car for the first time and you're alone with the news that you just found out that you have 6 months to live, and what are you going to do? And that was the moment that I had of clarity that I wanted to
really
pursue music.
So what were you thinking then? Like, I
had been doing theater. I'd been doing comedy. I'd been doing improv comedy a lot, and thought maybe I wanted to be an actor or something. And I was going to school for communication. I'd always worked in television production, you know, like video stuff, which I still do. Uh-huh. But I don't think I ever knew how much it meant to me to be a musician until then.
Yeah.
And then I just decided I was going to book myself a show, and I put up posters all around campus saying that I was going to sing this one night. And I just did covers because I was too nervous to do anything I was writing. And I remember how terrifying that was. I remember having to start over a song three or four times because I was so nervous I forgot the words. And these were songs I'd played in my house a million times over. So that experience was scary enough to me to keep me away from doing music for quite a while. And
then
I finally got back to it, and it just took me a while to get over the stage fright. And then now I don't really think about it anymore. So
I still have to I got to the point when I was playing music in bands where I was no longer afraid of getting up there. I was just anxious about it. Like, I had to be walking around and doing something, you know, occupying my time so I wouldn't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just like cleaning the kitchen, scrubbing the tile, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I had to do to make myself not think about it.
That's funny.
But now I'm not in bands or anything like that, and I get asked to go up on stage and introduce bands, and that's the most freakiest shit ever.
Yeah.
Like, standing up there without, I always refer to it as, like, you know, a guitar in front of you or something like that is like a shield almost, right?
Yeah, you can sort of hide behind
it. Yeah, a little bit. And now I have to go up there with a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Or a note card. It sucks.
Yeah. Public speaking is terrifying to a lot of people.
It's terrifying to me.
Yeah.
You know? I have to take beta blockers.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I take a pill.
What does it do? It
slows your heart rate.
Besides block the beta.
It blocks all the beta. Hmm. All the beta carotene. No, that's not what it... I don't know if beta carotene is what blocks...
People throw beta tapes at you and they just bounce off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the DAT tapes are what hurts the most. Yeah. But yeah, I take a pill for it now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
You never heard of those?
No.
The beta blocker things?
Not really.
A little tiny pill?
Hmm.
Yeah. Works like a charm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
This was a good advertisement for beta blockers.
Yeah. Try it, everybody. Yeah.
New sponsor of Air Raid.
That's right. So what do you hope to do with this project? Like, is the dream to, like, make a career out of music? I would imagine it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still work a lot. Uh-huh. I still do video editing mostly, you know, corporate stuff. I'd really love to not have to do that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. that's basically my dream. I'd love to be able to say that, you know, making music is how I make my living. And I know that that's not a small thing to try to aim for. So,
and
until I get to that place, I'm still going to continue working and hopefully be able to balance everything. And it's not easy, but it's totally doable. right now. But it puts me in a place where I can relax a little bit and still be able to afford to make the decisions with what I want to do musically. Possible, you know.
Yeah, totally.
I wouldn't have been able to do half of this film if it wasn't for the fact that I was working.
Yeah.
You know, if I just tried to do music full time, I would be, you know, the videos would have sock puppets in them. You wouldn't, you know, they'd be filmed on an iPhone. So there is, I think, it's important to have that balance in your life if you want to make the art the way that you want it to be, ultimately, you know?
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the jobs that you do, though, is singing
telegrams.
Telegrams. Yeah. I didn't know that was still a thing that existed.
It is.
Until you started posting about it.
It is. I've been working for Live Wires for about a decade now, doing singing telegrams as different characters.
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing. Ultimately, too, it's like, it really helps you with just being fearless about walking into a room.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, that's got to work on being, like, anxiety levels about going on stage.
Cause there's always that anxiety that people have just about opening a door and walking into a room. And it's kind of interesting now that I've done enough singing telegrams to notice it in other people. Because I'm always like, let's just go in. And they're like, just go in? Should we call someone first? Should we knock? Should we, like, I'm like, let's just go in.
So you're doing it with other people?
No, I mean, I guess I'm just talking about in general in life.
Sure.
You know, okay. Like whenever there's just something that might be a little bit uncertain or scary.
Right.
I feel like singing telegrams has made it so that I just don't think about that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But I find value in it. I think that I have a lot of stories that come out of it and just a lot of experiences that I think have helped me in different ways. So I wouldn't keep doing it if I didn't think it was worth it in some way.
Yeah.
It's weird though. It's definitely weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm sorry, but it's really weird.
No, it is. I won't. I mean, it's really strange. I mean, like, I had to go, the last one I did was like, you know, some law firm. I had to go in and sing this song. Oh, I just sing She's a Lady by Tom Jones.
Yeah.
To this chick because her man was away from her and it was her birthday and he wanted me to go sing for her. And
were you dressed as anything?
Well, that's the thing. There's no character for that. They didn't want me to be Tom Jones or anything because that would be really hard.
What was the one? I saw you, like, you were dressed up as, like, a unicorn?
Yeah, someone like wanted a unicorn at the Lynwood Mall.
Yeah?
Just go sing to someone. I forget what song I did. It was something... Oh, no, I don't remember. It was... something, you know, very unicorn-like.
Yeah,
I don't know. I want to say, like, Katy Perry Firework or something like that. Like, something, like, happy.
Now, do you have, like, a boombox with some music or something? Explain to me how this works.
Yeah, I have, like, an iPod blaster.
Okay.
It's like, you know, you just plug in your iPod and it's got these bad little speakers, but it does the trick.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just go for it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's great because my keys fit in it. So I put my keys and my phone in it and zip it up and then walk and that's all I'm carrying. So it's really perfect for singing telegrams.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Does it pay well? Do you get like tipped for that kind of thing?
Yeah. You know, sometimes it pays really well.
Really?
I went and sang happy birthday to someone one year as a German beer girl.
Yeah.
They just hired me to go to their house and sing happy birthday. And they had tipped me like double the amount of what I got. Like, I made over $200 just to sing happy birthday to a guy, you know.
Dang.
That's like, that song's like 20 seconds long. I don't know, it's like nothing.
So you just like sang it and then you take off?
Yeah, just leave
that?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, it's often like less than 10 minutes of work, and if you don't sweat it too much, it's worth it. If you're the type of performer that's gonna sweat it all day,
yeah
it's not worth it.
Yeah,
because if you're gonna do 8 hours of stress for $200, it's not worth it. But if you can like get to that place where you're chill and then maybe you worry about it the hour before,
yeah,
then you're good.
So where are you?
I mean, I definitely don't think about it.
You
until
don't think about it until
I sometimes
it's happening right there.
I sometimes learn the song on the way.
Yeah.
Have
you messed up before?
I have a really good memory for learning.
Do you?
I actually haven't. And Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend was one of my crowning achievements. There's a lot of words in that song. And I had never
it's kind of a long song too.
I had never learned it, and I learned it from Seattle to Edmonds in the car.
Nice.
And I retained it. And now I still know it. But I wouldn't probably sit down and learn it until it was the last minute anyway.
Sure,
sure. Huge procrastinator.
Oh my God. I still can't get over that still exists.
Yeah.
Like it only existed for me in movies and television shows.
It's real.
Like bad sitcoms. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. You know, it's definitely a different thing that people don't expect. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Celine, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
We're done?
Yeah. We're there, man.
Okay.
It's great.
Did I do good?
I think you did fantastic.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So October 11th, Midnight Veil is coming out.
Yes.
And we will be able to get that where?
You will be able to get it on Bandcamp.
Okay.
Promqueenband.bandcamp.com. I'm not sure where the physical albums are going to be sold online yet.
Okay.
It'll be
okay.
A website, probably promqueenmusic.com.
There you go. There it is. I found it. It was great to watch. It was very sexy.
Oh.
I thought that. Yeah. I don't know. There's something about that 60s pop era that I find very tantalizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to go out today with more of Prom Queen from the new album, Midnight Veil. Thank you so much for letting us use that music, too.
Yeah, thank you.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And we'll just do another random one. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's just put it on random. You don't know what you're going to listen to, but you're going to love
it. You're going to love it. And if you're here in Seattle, go and check out Prom Queen on Facebook and get all of the updates on where you're going to be and all that good stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Excellent. All right.
All right.
Thanks, Celine.
Thank you.
And remember, you can find out more about us at www.air-raid.net. Click on the Archives tab and see all 210 episodes right there at your fingertips for your free listening pleasure with people like Steve Renacisi from The League, that show on FX, right? I mean, that guy is hilarious. Awesome conversation. Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, both from The League. Man, great dudes. Oh, my God. I'm burping. This is embarrassing. And great music, too. John Roderick. Let's see. Damien Jurado. How about Pedro the Lion's David Bazan or the band Red Fang? I mean, it's all there, folks. It's all there. Surfer Blood. Yeah, that's right. Surfer Blood. Death Cab for Cutie. Macklemore. Blue Scholars. All right there at www.air-raid.net. Also, give some love to our sponsors as well. Remember, they help us keep the lights on. Naked City Brewery and Tap House here in Seattle, Washington, man. They really help us out a lot. And so we want you to help them out as well by visiting them on the web at nakedcitybrewing.com or on Facebook and liking them or just going in, man. They're located at 8564 Greenwood Avenue North here in Seattle, Washington. And they've got, oh my God, Eric Anderson from the band Cataldo, one of my favorite albums of all time, Gilded Oldies, is out now. And Eric Anderson from Cataldo is going to be playing the Naked Sessions there in the screening room coming up on August 26th. That's this week, folks. That's this week. And it's going to be awesome. That's friggin' tomorrow. That's Tuesday. So I hope you guys go and check that out. $10 at brownpapertickets.com. Show starts at 8 p.m. Go and check it out. Okay, let's go with this. Let's see. Off of the new album, Midnight Veil, which is out October 11th by Prom Queen. This song is called Daddy's Got a Big Bad Gun, and we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a good one.